Good morning. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. What do the mountains, specifically the Wasatch Range, mean to you? From artists to activists to residents of all kinds, the Wasatch have provided recreation, refuge, and inspiration. A new book explores the many ways that the Wasatch enriches lives through image and word. And today on the program, we're talking about how the Wasatch Range feeds us physically and spiritually. Joining me in studio is Howie Garber. He's an outdoor and wildlife photographer whose passion has taken him to China, to Bhutan, Patagonia, Kenya, many other places around the world. His images have been published in Newsweek and National Geographic magazine. They've been exhibited at the Smithsonian Museum and other outlets. And in his spare time, he's an emergency room doctor. And a new book featuring 25 years of his fine art photographs is titled Utah's Wasatch Range, Four Season Refuge. Howie Garber, it's a pleasure to have you here. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you.
Also with us, Sarah Bennett. She's a writer, naturalist, and open space and trails advocate. She's written four biking guide books, numerous articles and essays, and lots of letters advocating for trails. She currently sits on the Salt Lake County Open Space Trust Fund Advisory Committee and holds board positions with the Utah Rivers Council and the Natural History Museum of Utah. And she recently co-founded and is the Associate Director of Trails Utah, a newly formed nonprofit that is dedicated to trail advocacy throughout the state. One of her essays is included in Howie Garber's book. And Sarah Bennett, welcome to you. Thank you so much for the time.
Thanks for having me.
Later on in the program, Practicing Happiness, a conversation with the philosopher Jeffrey Nielsen. But first, the Wasatch Mountains. What's your favorite spot in the Wasatch? Tell us where you hike, bike, ski, or just what keeps you going to the foothills, the canyons, and the peaks of the Wasatch. You can join our conversation if you like. 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. Howie, I'll start with you. You write that your photography is an expression of devotion to the Wasatch. Where does that devotion come from?
Having spent 25 years photographing, and initially the photographs were just an attempt to kind of document my adventures. And then working with nonprofit organizations like Save Our Canyons, every photographer really wants to do something to help the environment. And so that was the main reason for doing the book.
You talked about adventures. Describe your first excursions into the Wasatch. What were those adventures like?
Well, I wasn't a very good skier, so every time I put on my skis, it was an adventure. And starting out, now that the equipment's a lot better, it's things are a little bit more controlled.
Sarah, I'll ask you the same question. I mean, what was it about the Wasatch, about this place, that really hooked you and kept you coming back? Started young for you.
Yeah, so I did a lot of growing up here. Came when I was just a girl of seven, and the Wasatch was my backyard. So I really grew up here and started exploring, you know, the canyons behind my house. And as I grew, I sort of began to widen my adventures. And I mean, I think one of the really unique things about the Wasatch is they're so diverse, from one canyon to the next, from one end to the other. Geologically, they're very complex. So you really get a different feel from one spot to the next.
I love how you put it. You say that you remember riding your bike to the end of the asphalt and stepping off into the new untried wilds of the Wasatch. I think we can all identify with that sensation of, okay, here we leave one world and enter another.
Yeah, and I think there I'm talking about an experience that's really universal for a lot of kids. You know, I feel lucky that I grew up at the edge of town in the 70s, and I think today we're really in a different place, where the edge of town is fenced off. It's right up against the boundary with public lands or high-end housing developments. There's much fewer opportunities for kids to just get out and explore on wild ground. I mean, certainly in more rural areas, but in the bigger towns in the West now, you know, they're really bumping up against the edges of public land where, you know, geographically as well, they're starting to be hemmed in. So I think we have to work a little bit harder to figure out how can we provide those opportunities for not just kids, but all people who are Westerners. A lot of us are here because we love the landscape. So we need to keep working to figure out how to get people out.
Mm. Howie Garber, you say that you took your first worthy photos of the Wasatch in the mid-'80s, 1986. How has the landscape changed since the mid-'80s? As we hear Sarah describe, that things have changed a bit.
Yeah, a lot of the places that we used to hike and ski are now part of the ski resorts. And as Sarah well documents, the foothills used to be kind of a bridge between the city and the mountains. And so there are a few places where we've preserved access to the mountains, most notably the Bonneville Shoreline Trail, Neff's Canyon. It took 20 years to get a legitimate access to Bell's Canyon. But actually, all the photos in the book could be taken today, except for one photo that was taken near Kimball Junction, where there's been obviously a lot of development in the last 15, 20 years.
Does that surprise you? How do you react to the fact that, yes, things have changed, but a lot has stayed the same in the past 25 years?
Well, it's such a unique place. It turns out that the Wasatch might be one of the very few, if in fact the only metropolitan area of over a million people that has 7,000 feet of vertical relief next to it. And given the fact that it's so American to want to expand your business, there's just been cumulative impacts or threats to the Wasatch, especially over the last few years.
Mm. Speaking with Howie Garber, he is a photographer, and a collection of his work has been recently released, Utah's Wasatch Range Four Season Refuge. His images are stunning, and they're accompanied by some equally stunning essays, one of which written by my other guest, Sarah Bennett, a writer, naturalist, and open space trails advocate. You can join our conversation if you like. If you have a favorite spot in the Wasatch, how does the Wasatch feed you in your soul? 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. Howie, as I mentioned, you've taken photographs all around the world, from the Himalayas to the Antarctic to Africa. How is taking pictures of a place that's so familiar, that is your backyard, I mean, is that different in any way from taking pictures in these exotic places, foreign places, places you're unfamiliar with?
Well, it's very different because my best photos are taken by going back to the same place over and over again. I mean, I've been to Mount Timpanogos 50 times, and every time it's completely different. And you know, one out of 10 years, you might see the peak maples with aspens, and you know, normally the maples turn red a couple of weeks before the aspen trees, but one out of 10 years you get lucky. And so when you live close to an area, then you have an opportunity to keep going back.
Sarah, do you go back to the same places, and do you approach the same place, a place that's very familiar with you, differently each time you go?
I often do go back to the same places. I mean, there's just certain ridge lines and certain peaks that, you know, you got to get there every season, at least once a season, with my skis on or on foot, excuse me. I think, you know, one of the, again, incredible things about the Wasatch is they're very steep and they're compressed and there's lots of nooks and crannies. So I continually find places and discover places that I haven't been before. I mean, it might just be a little rock outcropping or a stand of particularly mature, beautiful maples or what have you. But I am continually amazed at the things that I discover in the Wasatch.
Hmm. This note from Facebook, Mary writes, people are either water, ocean, or mountain people. I definitely love my mountains more, Mary says. I love to see them covered in snow, but especially in June when the weather is getting warmer in the valley, but snow is still visible in the mountains. The mountains show me strength. What do you derive from the Wasatch Mountains in particular? Not just physically. Sarah Bennett?
I would have to say, you know, these mountains, the Wasatch, are absolutely part and parcel of my being. I grew up here. I tested myself here. They're really part of my psyche. I grew up in Olympus Cove, so looking west across the valley, that view is so imprinted on me. When I grew and went to the East Coast and looked at colleges and thought maybe I wanted to explore some other parts of the country, I just remember feeling a little claustrophobic from being in the tall canopy of those huge deciduous trees. And I still get that sensation when I go to places that are heavily wooded. I love the intimacy that you get in deep woods, but there's something about the sense of space. And I think that space, as Stegner, you know, is well known for writing about, really helps to shape how you see the world. And I feel that I'm a child of the space of the Great Basin.
Do you feel the same affinity, Howie, for the Wasatch, or is it different in any way from Sarah's experience?
I've mountains have been a huge part of my life, and you know, the Wasatch has just been a refuge for me. You know, you can have this busy life in the city, and you can be away from all of that in 20 minutes, depending on where you are in the valley. So it's just been an incredible refuge. And there's just such diverse recreation close to the city. The mountains are like a commons.
We are speaking with Howie Garber. He's a photographer, and his latest book is Utah's Wasatch Range, Four Season Refuge, 25 years of photographs by Howie Garber. Also with us is Sarah Bennett, who has written one of the essays that accompanies these beautiful images. And you can join our conversation if you've got questions or comments for Garber or Bennett about the Wasatch. You can share your experience with its sheer beauty, the flora, the fauna, the humans who depend on this natural resource. 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. We need to take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is City Views on KCPW, Salt Lake City. Welcome back. This is City Views. I'm Jennifer Napier Pierce. Today on the program, we're talking about the Wasatch Mountains. As Terry Tempest Williams calls them, our spine of great beauty and strength. With patience and passion, photographer Howie Garber has been capturing images of the Wasatch, its peaks and canyons and wildlife for 25 years. And a new book of those images is now out. And there are also essays from naturalists and scientists and activists who love these mountains, including Sarah Bennett, who is joining us in studio. And if you'd like to join our conversation with Howie and Sarah about the Wasatch Mountains, why do you visit the Wasatch? What does it mean to have this natural wonder in your backyard? And if you've explored or picnicked or played in the powder of the Wasatch Range, join our conversation. What do you get out of it? 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255, or send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. Sarah Bennett, you know, you've devoted a lot of time and energy to trail development. Why are the trails so important to you?
I think for a lot of lucky folks like ourselves that get to live in a stunning geographic setting like Salt Lake, we find ways to get outside. And we begin to find our favorite haunts, our favorite trails. We visit them regularly. They become part of our every day, every week exercise routine. It's how we manage our stress, how we spend times with our four-legged friends and our two-legged friends as well. So these places become really, really valued. And a lot of those sort of informal points of access that used to exist around the margins of our community have slowly over time been going away. And I've just found there's too much value, there's too much benefit to myself and my neighbors and my fellow citizens to enjoy that access, to allow that to continue to happen. And I think there's really a groundswell now of interest in seeing those kinds of places preserved and seeing open space preserved and access to that open space.
You know, in your essay that you think Park City has done a few things very well, that they had some foresight in their trail development and in creating access points before explosive growth took over that valley.
They did. And it's important to note that Summit County, Western Summit County, had a fairly unique situation where they had development begin to happen fairly rapidly, and they did have some very smart people that had a lot of foresight. And most of the land in that area around Park City was private, so that they had a way to very quickly and very effectively manage for open space access. They created ordinances that required developers to allow for access and to actually have to trade some of their land back in order to get certain development rights. So that was a very good tool for them. In other places, other parts of the Wasatch, development happened really quickly. And it was private land, and it was sort of an open and shut case. Now we're at a point in time where we are really looking to our public lands. The National Forest Service, Uinta Wasatch Cache, Salt Lake City Ranger District manages most of the Wasatch, and Salt Lake City Watershed is a huge player in the management of the public lands in the Wasatch. And these folks are under tremendous strain, under really pretty tough circumstances. They every year have fewer dollars, they have less manpower, they really have a gargantuan task ahead of them. So we really need to come together as a community, I think, and put our best effort forward in trying to figure out how we can help these land managers do their job and at the same time really identify what we need as a community in terms of access and open space preservation.
It is a fine line because you clearly both have such passion and energy and affection for this place, and you go there and you want other people to be able to experience that as well. But when you get to a point where there's too many people, you can love a canyon, you can love a trail to death. I mean, Howie Garber, I imagine that you can take pictures in the same place and it's relatively unchanged. But there are other times when the trailheads are completely packed, and, you know, parking and the congestion of the valley reaches up into the Wasatch.
It seems like you get used to sharing places that you love with other people, and what you don't get used to is more encroachment by ski resorts, helicopter noise, and even though there's wilderness in the Wasatch, it's not like wilderness that's 100 miles away from a city. And I think part of sharing the experience with others just becomes part of the pleasure.
I think there's a lot of pressure at trailheads. I've seen exponential increase in numbers of folks trying to get out and have a wilderness experience in the Wasatch. And it is getting harder. There are a number of excellent planning efforts going forward right now. And I think we are trying to, among them is one that's just begun called Future of the Wasatch, that's being spearheaded by Ralph Becker at the city. Definitely protection of the watershed is one of the motivations there. But we're looking at these issues, you know, how do you preserve the trail user experience, preserve that experience in nature, provide for access, but don't overwhelm the resource. And it's a sticky wicket. It's a difficult problem.
Speaking with Sarah Bennett, the writer, naturalist, and open space and trails advocate, she is one of the writers, including in a new volume, Utah's Wasatch Range, Four Season Refuge, 25 Years of Photographs by Howie Garber. And Howie Garber is also with us. If you'd like to join us, we're talking about the beauty of the Wasatch, the appeal of the Wasatch, and protecting the Wasatch. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. Howie, can't talk about this book without the photos. Getting that one image, photography does require a certain amount of patience. Can you tell us about a time where you staked out a spot and it took a while to get the image that you were hoping for? And what's going through your mind while you wait?
A lot of waiting is, when I think of waiting, I think about wildlife photography. And I remember I was really lucky this past summer to run into a couple of bighorn rams on Timpanogos. And initially I wondered if they would really tolerate my presence. So you just sit there for a while and you try to be part of the scenery and see how they're going to react to you. And after a while you realize, well, they've just kind of accepted you. So when I photograph wildlife, I just plan on several hours of, the animal getting used to me and then maybe waiting for some unusual behavior. And in the case of these bighorn rams, I actually got to see them, you know, bang heads, and their horns were practically locked.
Wow.
And I went back two more times, and I never saw that behavior. So I was able to document something that in 3-4 hours of watching these bighorn rams, it was something that just took place over about 5 seconds.
That must have been a thrill, though, to catch that five-second period.
Yeah.
You've also got a great image in the book of a skunk. Can you describe what this skunk is doing?
Well, that's actually a rented skunk.
A rented skunk, okay.
Confessions.
And I was just trying to highlight.
Describe what for our listeners what the skunk is doing.
Well, the skunk, which I assume was de-scented and declawed, is sitting on a no trespassing sign, and I was just trying to show how private land can really cut off access to public land, something that Sarah wrote a lot about.
Is this book a political statement on your part?
Very political.
What are you trying to say?
What I'm trying to show is that one of the reasons for doing the book was just a huge disparity between what people want from our mountain range and what they've been getting from our elected officials. Sarah and I were both involved in this Envisioned Utah process where there were 16,000 people surveyed in Salt Lake County, and 94% of them said that they didn't want any enlargement of ski resorts. And there was a bill passed by our state legislature last year that basically endorsed this interconnect concept where we'd be connecting all the resorts. And then a couple of congressmen introduced this bill, the Ski Link bill, which has been quite controversial. And that's basically a giveaway of our public land to support one particular company. And I think part of the popularity of my book has been that people are just outraged of this disparity between what they want and what they're getting from our elected officials.
Mm. Sarah, is that part of why you chose to participate in this book?
You know, the synchronicity of the publication of this book and the Ski Link proposal is kind of mind-blowing. I think Howie nailed it. You know, this has been coming for some time. I grew up around the ski resorts, and I think there's always been a discussion about how to link the various resorts. As I've lived the Wasatch and shared the Wasatch, I think I've come to realize, and a lot of other people have as well, that it really is a small mountain range. It's not like Europe, where you have range after range after valley after valley after range. And while I understand that ski culture desire to link all the resorts, I just think there's too much riding on the Wasatch. It is the font of our fresh, clean water that is some of the best in the country. It's delivered by gravity in a matter of hours. It's cheap, it's clean. But I think it is one of the reasons I participated in the book, is because I think we really need to value the Wasatch for a whole host of reasons other than just what the ski resorts do for us. Ski resort numbers are pretty flat and have been for years. Ski user days are not expanding exponentially, and I think the resorts are really under a lot of pressure to seek out sort of novel offerings to get more tourists to come and more locals to participate. The Ski Link proposal is not a good one. Although the precedent has already been set with the land transfer that went on up in Eden, Utah at Snow Basin that allowed for the Olympic venue to be developed and that base lodging be developed. I think that set the precedent. And I think Talisker Corporation is probably, you know, riding on that bet that the precedent's already been set. We cannot get into the habit of giving away public lands for private enterprise. That's just something that can't go forward.
Before we went on the air, you said that this book has been a long time coming. I mean, you've been waiting for something like this. Why?
I think the Wasatch was a really well-kept secret for a really, really long time. We moved here in the early 1970s, and I just remember as a little kid, I have family in Colorado, and we'd go over to Colorado and everyone would talk about how great Colorado skiing was, and we'd just sort of stand in the corner and keep our mouths shut because we knew where the skiing was really happening. And I think the Olympics changed all that, and just growth changed that. The word is out, and there's more attention and there's more pressure, and the Wasatch is certainly deserving of the attention. But we really need to watch ourselves now and take good care of this mountain range.
Howie, our time is short, but I guess what are you hoping that people will get out of reading the essays in this book, looking at your images? What are you hoping for a reaction from people?
Well, for people to truly recognize the uniqueness of our mountain range and the protection that Salt Lake City has gotten. I mean, I've been told that when people ride horses near San Francisco, the horses have to wear diapers because of the to protect the watershed. Well, here we have this intense recreation next to a city, and my understanding is that we used to have some of the worst water quality of any city in the country around 1900. And when Salt Lake City formed this relationship with the Forest Service and allowed them to take over protection of the watershed, our water quality has continued to improve, and yet we have this intense recreation. People can go almost any place they want in our mountain range, unless it's private land. And so I'd like people to understand the importance that Save Our Canyons has played in protecting our mountain range. They've been involved in all three wilderness areas, and I would like people to really understand the importance of wilderness and that may be the best way at this point in time to protect the Wasatch for future generations. Mm.
The book is Utah's Wasatch Range, Four Season Refuge, 25 years of photographs by Howie Garber. Howie, thank you very much for the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Writer and advocate Sarah Bennett, thanks to you as well.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up next, a discussion on happiness, the art of being human, with the philosopher Jeffrey Nielsen. But first, a break. This is City Views on KCPW, Salt Lake City.